How many of you are thankful for our country's freedom? Amen? And boy, isn't that a blessing. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Well, there's just a lot of places around the world where you cannot do what we're doing tonight. And thank God for America, you know. And you know what? This country isn't perfect, but I sure wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Amen. And I am thankful for it. I really, really am. Hey, the men's Bible studies this Tuesday morning, guys, at 6:30 a.m. And so keep that in mind, breakfast and all that at 6:30 a.m. this Tuesday right here on property. And we are free. You know, God is a God of freedom. Isn't that great? And Wednesday night, we're going to have a July 4th type service. We're going to have patriotic stuff and a lot of good singing. And as I mentioned, my brother and sister-in-law, my mom will be here. We're going to do a lot of singing. We hope that you'll come out July 3rd for that. That's going to be this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, all right? And that was a good song tonight, Caleb. Thank you. We are free. And you know, that goes along with Wednesday night. We talked about forgiveness. And we are free to forgive as He forgave. Are you thankful for His forgiveness tonight, church? Whew. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? We are free to forgive others because He has forgiven us. That's what the Bible teaches. I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to Judges chapter 1 in the Old Testament. Judges chapter number 1. Judges chapter number 1. And let's begin reading. We're going to begin reading here in verse number 16. Judges 1, verse number 16. It says, "And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad. And they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with Simeon his brother. And they slew the Canaanites." There's a heathen. Just the Canaanites were very heathen, wicked people. "And they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. God had promised Israel that He would give them the land, the full land that He promised them, if they'd be willing to go and fight and drive out these heathen nations. It says, and the name of the city was called Hormah." Verse 18. "And Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof." Verse 19 says, "And the Lord was with Judah, and He drave out the inhabitants of the" what? "Mountain. But could not drive out the inhabitants of the" what? "Valley." Why? Why could He not drive them out? Because they had what? Chariots of iron. Isn't that interesting that Judah had this tribe of Judah, they had power. He has power while he's up. They had mountain power, but no valley power. Why? Because they had chariots of iron. If you'll allow me for a moment to just make application here from this story, it kind of reminds me a little bit of when we get saved. You know, when we get saved, a miraculous change takes place. I remember when I got saved as a teenager, a great change took place. I wasn't raised in a home with Bible teaching and where the gospel was presented and where I had an opportunity at a young age to accept Christ like some of these young people have had the opportunity to do. My children have had the opportunity to do. All that Clint's ever known is church 3 times a week. Amen, Clint. Clint says that when he grew up, he had a drug problem. We drug him to church 3 times a week. Amen. And you riches know about that, right? And I didn't have that opportunity. And as a result, you know, I was growing up and I really was just kind of living a typical life of a teenager and just, you know, just things that I shouldn't be involved in. And boy, when I got saved, I'll never forget that night. How many of you, when you got saved, this is how I felt, and you don't have to feel this way. Salvation isn't a feeling. But I remember when I got saved, I felt like a ton of bricks had been off my shoulders. You know, and of course, I think that is the weight of sin. You know, I knew my sin, and I knew how much I needed salvation. And when I finally got saved, it was like, whoo, hallelujah. And I mean, immediately, there was a change in my life. And my brother, who's going to be here Wednesday night, he is the one that led me to Christ. That night I got saved, he was in the car with me. We were alone, and he led me to the Lord. And he's about 9 years older than me. And Steve, being 9 years older than me, and not being raised in a home where we heard the gospel, we heard Bible teaching, my brother Steve had also, as a college student, gotten involved in a lot of things that he should not be involved in. How many of y'all remember what they called the hippie movement in the 60s? You remember the hippie movement? That's what my brother was. You know, he had hair down his back, played in a rock band, and involved in all the things that go along with that. And his life was definitely headed in not a good direction at all. And my brother got saved. He got invited to a college and career meeting that they were having on a Saturday night, and they were showing a Christian film about the end times. And my brother went forward, and he trusted Christ as his Savior, and he came home and told my parents that he'd gotten saved. Of course, they didn't know what that meant, nor did I. But immediately, again, we begin to see a change in his life, a drastic change. And, you know, when you get saved, there are some things that sometimes you just get instant victory over some things, you know, when you get saved. It's like, boom, you get saved and instantly you get victory. You know, and I hear people give testimonies about that. You know, I remember when I got saved, instantly I found a language for Jesus Christ. No longer did I want to curse and swear. And you know what? I found out after I got saved, I could not stand to hear God's name blasphemed after I got saved. That didn't bother me before I got saved. But once I got saved, I couldn't stand to hear people use God's name or Jesus' name in vain anymore. I got a love for Christ. You know, before salvation, I knew of God, I knew of Jesus, but I didn't love Him. I didn't love Him at all. And I got a love for Christ when I got saved. I remember when I got saved, I got a longing for Christ. Man, I remember I started going to church with my brother. I asked my parents, can I go to church? Can I go to his church? And they said, yeah, you can go with your brother to church. And so, you know, our church, we went to a church. It was kind of a social club, and you just went Sunday morning sometimes, and that was about it. And man, his church had church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I remember I got a longing for Christ, and I began to want to go to church Sunday morning, and I wanted to go back Sunday night, and I wanted to go Wednesday night. And as a teenager, I wanted to go to youth activities. I remember one summer I got to go to a youth camp, and man, that was mind-boggling to me. I just could not believe the preaching and what I was hearing and all these things. It just, wow, it was just unbelievable to me. It was a whole new world to me. And I got that longing. I wanted that. I wanted to be at church, you know? And when people get saved, I don't know, man. I just think when you get saved, you ought to long for Jesus when you get saved, you know? And when I got saved, I got some victory over some things, you know? And I was able to fight on the mountain. But there were some things, you know, and I'm sure that many of you can relate to this. Some things you just get instant victory over. Hey, you know that verse, 2 Corinthians 5, where it says that if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. And then your position, it's not talking so much about your actions in that verse as your position. Positionally, see, it says that I'm a new creature in Christ. Behold, old things are passed away. All things are become new. That's speaking of the new position that you now have in Christ. And when you get saved, you become a new creature in Christ. And so it's like you're up on this mountain and you get some instant victory over some things, you know, and it's exciting. God does some mountain work on you, man. And I tell you, it's exciting. But how many of you have found out since you got saved How many of you have discovered that there are some valleys that don't get fixed up instantaneously? You know, it's like those chariots of iron that we just read about. You know, it's like in those valleys, there's chariots of iron. You know, I've had, you know, people tell me that, man, I got saved and instantly I no longer had any desire to want to smoke dope anymore. Man, smoking dope, that was a thing of the past. No longer did I want to do that anymore. But buddy, they still had a smoking hot temper. Buddy, that temper was still smoking. You know, are y'all with me tonight? You know, and, you know, people are like, man, I got instant victory over alcohol. Man, I was an alcoholic and I got instant victory. I didn't have a taste for it anymore. The moment I got saved, I never wanted another drop. But they're still drinking in that gossip. Still drinking in that gossip. You know, man, I got instant victory. Stop cussing. But boy, sometimes we have a hard time with being critical and negative of other people, don't we? You see, some things in life are hard to beat. Up on the mountain, it's easy to do right. You know, there's no chariots of iron. But in the heart and in the soul of every one of us are some chariots of iron that are hard to lick. Hebrews 12:1 talks about laying aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. I believe that every one of us in here have sins that are like chariots of iron that easily beset us. And a lot of times, maybe they're not outward things. You know, they're, like I said, a temper. Or maybe we have a problem with worry. Maybe we have a problem with what we preached on Wednesday night, forgiveness or bitterness. Maybe it's a problem with being negative and critical of other people. Maybe it's a pride issue. You know, maybe it's a tongue issue. Maybe it's an eye issue. You know, maybe it's something that nobody else sees. But yet we know that we have that ongoing battle with that chariot of iron. And sometimes we can think in our minds, man, I got saved 20 years ago and I'm still battling it. And man, I must not be a good Christian. Even good Christians have valleys where Satan drives chariots of iron. How do you deal with those chariots of iron? Now notice I said deal. How do you deal with them? You know, you may never completely get rid of them. I'm just being honest with you. I the longer I'm saved, the more I'm very prone to realize that there are certain, I mean, Paul, near the end of his life, called himself the chief of sinners, didn't he? There are certain things that you're going to battle till the day you die, till the day you go to heaven. And although you may never, now listen, although you may never drive those chariots of iron completely out, praise God, we don't have to get run over by them, amen? You know, you don't have to get run over by them. What do you do with those chariots? What do you do with those habitual sins that we struggle with and those things that we deal with? Well, you know, as I think about those things, I'm reminded of several principles that I want to give you tonight that will help you deal with those chariots of iron. You know, there's a verse I want you to go to in Psalm 51. I think it's very insightful. Go to Psalm 51. I want you to notice here what David wrote in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And this is the psalm that he wrote after his sin with Bathsheba, where he committed adultery. And he said there in verse number 2, look at it with me, Psalm 51, 2. He said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Now look at this. Verse 3 is the key. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, what do you think the key right there is? Well, to me, the key is verse 3. He said, for I acknowledge. Question for you. If you all know your Bible, after David committed the sin with Bathsheba, did he immediately acknowledge his sin? Yes or no? He did not. What did he try to do? He tried to hide it. He tried to hide it. He tried to sweep it under the rug. He tried to act like that it didn't exist. He did everything he could to try to cover it. But finally he got to the point, and of course we know after a visit with Nathan, the prophet, that David realized the problem. And he said, I acknowledge my transgressions. Can I submit to you tonight, the worst Christian in this room is the one that thinks he's a good one. It's awful quiet in here. The worst Christian in this room is the one that thinks he's a good one. You see, we have got to put away pride and we've got to get honest with ourselves. Let me ask you this. Is it possible to have a chariot of iron in your life, a sin in your life, and yet deny it and not acknowledge it? Is that possible? The Bible says that if we have no sin, we deceive who? Ourselves. You're not tricking God. You're not fooling God. You're probably not fooling your family. You're sure not fooling your wife. Amen. You know, and but yet we can deceive ourselves, the Bible says. Folks that try to act like they're one thing, you know, in public, they're perfect in public. Well, that's one thing. But man, when you start believing it, that's when you get into trouble. You know, the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he what? Fall. Proverbs 16:18. Can you all finish the verse? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit, haughty, before a fall. You see, we've got to realize the problem. You've got to admit your chariots of iron. Brother Shannon, who heads up Freedom Found, I think would concur with me. Isn't that a really big step for people to admit they have a problem? It's huge, he said. Just admitting you have a problem. You know, and you know, here's the thing. Let me just say this. If we're going to realize the problem, whatever that chariot of iron is in our life that we struggle with, we've got to get past the point of blaming others for our chariots of iron. We got to get past the thing of blaming other people. You know, whether it's blaming our parents or blaming somebody that hurt us in the past, or whether it's blaming our grandparents or blaming somebody at school or blaming someone from the past. We've got to get past that thing. You know, the Bible says in Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let me say that again. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Did you know that when I stand before the Lord one day, I'm going to stand there alone and give an account? And did you know Brother Shannon won't be there beside me to blame? Caleb, when you stand before the Lord one day, you won't have your little brother to blame. Amen. Adam made me do it, you know. And you know, I just was thinking about this, Denise. I was thinking about when we dated. I really lost my temperance a lot, didn't I? One of my chariots of iron that was a struggle with me for years was that very thing of a temper. And I remember that Denise really had a difficult time with that when we dated, because I would get you know, upset and I'd lose my temper. And you know what I started saying to her, though, is I would say to her, you provoke me. Now, I'm telling secrets on us tonight, amen. But that's what I would blame her, and I'd say, you provoke me to do this. And you know what? There had to come a point in my life where I realized it wasn't my wife's fault that I had a temper. It's okay to say amen, honey. And, you know, I had to realize, no, it's me. I've got the problem. Nobody else. Me. I've got an issue. I've got a problem. And I've got a chariot of iron that I need to deal with. You know, and I had to get to the point where I quit blaming others. Did you know the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 11, Clint will remember this one. We made him memorize it as a kid. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. Go to Ezekiel. You're in Psalm. Go to the right, several books. Go to Ezekiel, chapter number 18. Let me show you something here that maybe you haven't looked at in a long time. It's again, under the Old Testament. I understand that. But there's a great principle here, I think, that we can draw from. Ezekiel 18. It's the same principle that Paul taught. And that is that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And that before God, we're either going to stand or fall on our own. Not going to be anybody there with us when we give account. Look at Ezekiel 18, and let's begin reading in verse 20. It says there, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. You see, as long as we blame others for our chariots of iron, as long as we blame other people, well, God can't help us. God can't help us. Right, Brother Shannon? God cannot help us if we're always blaming other people for our chariots of iron. You know, we've got to quit that. And by the way, we've also got to quit excusing ourselves. How many of y'all ever heard this? Well, that's just me. That's just me. I can't help. How about this one? I can't help the way God created me. I can't help the way I am. That's the way God made me. You know, come on. Well, my grandfather was an alcoholic. Well, so? So what? You know, the Bible says, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Let me ask you something. Do you have to be like your parents? You do not. You do not. Now, I know, Clint, you want to be. Amen, son. There's things he doesn't want to be like me, I'm sure. But listen, honestly, you know, you don't have to be like your parents. You don't have to say, well, that's the way my dad was and that's the way I am. That's a cop-out. Listen, if we're weak in our habits, if we got chariots of iron with our eyes or our ears or our tongue or our minds, we need to realize, you know what? I got a problem with this thing. I got a problem. You know, I need to deal with this. So the first step in not getting run over by the chariots of iron and learning to deal with them is you realize the problem. You get honest with yourself. You get honest with God. Maybe you get honest with those around you so that you got some accountability. And you get honest about that thing, and you realize the problem. Now, the second principle is a very much a key, and that is this. You have to restrict the possibility. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is you want to try to set up boundaries in your life to where you're not giving occasion to the flesh. Restricting the possibility. Is that a biblical principle? Yes. The Bible says in Romans 13, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Make not provision. You don't want to give your flesh the opportunity to sin. So how do I restrict the possibility of succumbing to those chariots of iron? Well, one way is to pray about it. Do y'all believe in prayer? Amen? I mean, pray about it. It's amazing how many times we have problems and issues and we never pray about it. We never pray. You know, we need to pray about that thing. Go to the Lord and say, God, I need you to strengthen me by your Spirit in the inner man. I need you to strengthen me in this area of my life because I struggle. I got a problem here. And I need you, God, to strengthen me in this area of my life. How about this? Do y'all think we should hide the Word of God in our hearts? You know, if you've got a problem in a certain area, memorize verses that have to do with that problem. The Bible says in Psalm, in fact, go back there real quick. I want to show you something. Go to Psalm 119. Let's run back to Psalm again. And let's look at a couple of verses here that are key. You ought to underline these if you don't have them underlined in your Bible. They're such key verses, really. Psalm 119. A couple of verses here I want to look at. Let's begin in verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, wherewithal, Psalm 119, 9. Wherewithal, in other words, how shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you cleanse your way? How do you overcome those chariots of iron? By taking heed thereto according to what? Thy word. Well, how do I take heed to the word? Look at verse 11. It tells you how to take heed. Everybody say verse 11 with me. Let's say it as a group. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Question for you. How do I hide the Word of God in my heart? Memorize it. Read it. Meditate on it. Study it. What we preached this morning. Study to show yourself approved. Right. That's it. Get in the Word every day. You know, and like I preached this morning, a disciple doesn't get in the Word when they feel like it. You know, how many of y'all would concur with this? The days when I don't feel like getting in the Word, that's when I need it the most. Right? That's when I need it the most. The days I don't feel like praying are the days I need to pray the most. You know? I mean, when you are, you're up on that mountaintop, it's easy to pray. When you're up on that mountain, man, you're like, woo, man, it's a great day. Woo, everything's going great. Woo, I'm going to read my Bible. Woo, I'm so excited. You know? Well, what about when you feel like you've been run over by a Mack truck, you know, and you feel discouraged and you feel despondent and you feel like everything's collapsing around you? You don't feel like reading the Bible. That's the last thing you feel like doing is breaking open that book and reading it. Do y'all think that's the time we need it the most? I think so. Memorize verses that have to do with your chariot of iron. And boy, I tell you, this is a big one. We talk about restricting the possibility, prayer, hiding the Word in your heart. But I tell you, this is a big one right here. Stay away from that which tempts you. Stay away from that which produces your weakness. Is that a biblical principle? Yes or no? How about 1 Thessalonians 5:22, where Paul wrote to the church and he said, abstain from all appearance of evil. As I quoted earlier, make not provision for the flesh. Flee fornication. There's a verse where he talks about fleeing idolatry. He talks about in 1 Timothy 6 about the love of money. For some people, I'm telling you, a lot of people, their chariot of iron is materialism. Man, they may not have a problem boozing it up, but man, they got a problem. They've got a problem with spending. They got a problem with covetousness and wanting more and wanting bigger and wanting better and wanting to keep up with this person and keep up with that person. And it's covetousness, it's materialism. That's a problem that grips many people. Many Christians struggle with that area of their life. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 that the love of money is the root of what? All evil. Which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith. But then he goes on to say, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. You say, man, I got a problem buying stuff I can't afford. You know what? You need to have plastic surgery. Y'all know what I mean? Credit cards? Right. Cut them up. Get rid of them, you know. Have some plastic surgery, amen, one night. But restrict the possibility. You know, if somebody's got a problem with alcohol, I think they ought to stay away from the nightclubs. What do you think, huh? Good idea? You know? Like one old preacher said, if you got bullets in your pocket, don't get near the stove. Right? And there's a lot of truth in that. A lot of truth in that. Restrict the possibility. Realize the problem. Man, I got an issue here. Now I'm going to try to restrict that possibility through prayer, through hiding the word in my heart, through staying away from that which tempts me. And now the next point is this. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7. Let's begin reading here in verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Look at it with me. It says, for godly sorrow, there is a godly sorrow, and it worketh repentance. Now remember, what's repentance? It means to change your what? Change your thinking, your mind. He says that godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Now he's writing to people who have already been saved from hell. The word salvation means deliverance. He's talking about deliverance from these issues of sin that they're dealing with. And he says, look at it. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, to deliverance from that sin, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. What do you do when you have times in your life when you succumb to the chariots of iron? That thing that you struggle with, you succumb to it. And that chariot of iron overtakes you. You need to repent. Repent. Go back to the same cross that you got saved and say, Lord Jesus, I am resting in that shed blood. I am trusting in that shed blood. Claim Colossians. Run over to Colossians 1 real quick. This is a verse you need to claim. Whenever you're confronted with your sin and you struggle with some chariot of iron in your life, go to Colossians 1:14. And when you repent of your sin, it means you change your thinking. You change your thinking about it. And you repent. You know what you do? You get your thinking in line with the Bible. You get your thinking in line with God's thinking. You say, God, I want to begin thinking about this sin the way you think about this sin. And if you've succumbed and you've failed, and you feel like you've been run over, man, Colossians 1:14, in Christ, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, even the what? Forgiveness of sins. Are you thankful tonight for the forgiveness of sins? Amen. You go back to that cross and you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you've redeemed me. Thank you that you've purchased me. Thank you that you've forgiven me. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and flip over to Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. It says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, with Christ. Now look at this. having forgiven you what? All trespasses. You be on. Hey, when you mess up and that chariot of iron overtakes you, you get honest with God. He knows your heart anyway. You just go to the Lord. You say, God, I have succumbed to this chariot of iron, but I thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me. You have forgiven me all trespasses. And God, I want to get my thinking in line with your thinking. This is not who you've made me in Christ. This is not the new man that you've created me in your Son. And I want my thinking to line up with what your Word says. Thank you for the forgiveness that you've given me in Christ. And God, now I repent of that sin. And you say, well, man, I've done that before. What if I mess up again? You do it again. You know, you say, doesn't God get tired of that? Aren't you glad we have a merciful God? You know, He doesn't get tired of that. If you're true and you're sincere and you're honest about it, you know what? God truly is touched. The Bible says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, thou wilt not despise. When you go to the Lord with a broken, contrite heart, He will not despise that. He will not turn you away. So tonight, I've got one more point to give you about chariots of iron. We said we have to realize the problem, admit it, get honest about it. Restrict the possibility, hide the word in your heart, pray about that thing, set up boundaries in your life. Repent of the pollution in your life. Repent of any areas in your life where you've succumbed. But then the last thing I want to give you is this. Go to Philippians. You're in Colossians. Go to the book right before that. And in Philippians chapter number 3, I love this here. Oh man, this is so good. Philippians 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Everybody say that phrase with me. Forgetting those things which are behind. And then what is the next thing he says? And what? Reaching forth. Reaching forth unto those things which are where, church? Before, ahead of us. And then what's the first two words of verse 14? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, God wants you, and it's what I preached this morning. It goes along so well with the message this morning. God wants you to reach your full potential for Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to be satisfied with second best. He doesn't want you to sacrifice the best for the good. He wants you to reach your full potential for Jesus Christ. And as long as those chariots of iron control us, as long as they lord over us, we'll never reach that full potential for Christ. We have to get to the point where we, through the Lord Jesus Christ in us, the Holy Spirit, we're in control of those chariots of iron. Maybe we don't necessarily just completely drive them out. Like I said, there's certain things, man, you just get instant victory over when you get saved. There's other things you battle. Paul did. You battle, you struggle. But you have to put these principles in effect so that you can reach that full potential. There's a lot of people, they maybe struggle with worry and stress. And they have a problem trusting the Lord. You know, other folks, I've seen people through the years, they struggle with faithfulness. Faithfulness. They can get faithful for 3 months, 6 months, then you won't see them for 3 months. Then they'll get back, then they'll be gone again. Then they'll get back, then they struggle with that thing of faithfulness. That's a chariot of iron in their life, is faithfulness. Other people, it's a feeling of never being content. A lot of people, that's their chariot of iron. They're never content. They think the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, you know? And they're never content. They never can get to that place of contentment in their life. They're always thinking, oh, there's a better this or a better that. And other people, like I said, it's materialism. Some people, it's a habit, an addictive habit, you know? But all of us have different chariots of iron that we deal with. Do not allow those chariots of iron to knock you out of the race. What I want you to realize tonight is that when God saved you, when He saved you from your sin, He knew all your good points and He knew all your bad points. When God saved you, He knew your struggles. He knew the baggage that you were bringing from your past into that relationship with Christ. He knew all about your bad habits. He knew all about the things you struggle with. But aren't you glad He chose to love you anyway? And He never will quit loving you. He never will quit working with you. He's not going to give up on you. You may give up on yourself, and someone else may give up on you, but aren't you glad our God never gives up on us? He keeps working with us. I told you one of Paul's issues was always wanting to go to Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul, man, it was like a besetting sin. You know, God would say, don't go. You know, he went to Jerusalem. Christ said, make haste, get out. You know, he'd get out and then go back. He'd get out and then go back. How many of you, it sounds like you, huh? You know, you get out of it and then you get right back into the mess again, right? You know? And we all have these areas of our life that are chariots of iron. Sometimes it may not even be something out and out sinful. You know? It's just something that is a hindrance. You know, the Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. Sometimes there are things in your life that are a weight. It's just weighting you down in your Christian life. It's a chariot of iron that weights you down. It's not anything necessarily sinful, you know, but it's just something that dominates you and controls you and keeps you from reaching your full potential. You know, there are people that maybe it's watching the TV. And it's not even anything bad they're watching on TV. But it's just like constantly, it just controls them and lords over them. You know? And you know, there's a lot of areas like that that we can struggle with that aren't even necessarily sinful. They're a weight. They're a weight. Like I said, Paul had his chariots of iron. But you know what he said? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Tonight I want to encourage you. I don't know what your chariot of iron is, but I want to encourage you. Keep pressing on for Jesus Christ. Keep pressing on. Don't give up. Amen, church.